Hello and welcome to the Moodle podcast.
Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning into Moodle's latest podcast episode. For first-time listeners, my name is Abby Fry and I'm the Communications Manager at Moodle. Today, I'm having a conversation with Paul Hodgson. And Paul's the product manager of an exciting new platform at Moodle. It's an open source platform, really a social network, and it's called MoodleNet. It allows educators or teachers to collect, curate, share open educational resources. So firstly, welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Abby. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. So it's great to be having a conversation today because at the moment we are right in the midst of celebrating UNESCO's International Day of Education. And this year the theme is that education is the foundation of our future. The idea is that we need to strengthen education as a global common good in order to make a just and sustainable world. So I wanted to start big, a big question really. I mean, I know a bit about the open education movement and how it perhaps connects to MoodleNet, but I thought it'd be nice to hear from you as the product manager of a technology platform, how MoodleNet contributes to strengthening education.
Well, yes, MoodleNet, of course, is very much designed towards sustainable development goal 4 of UNESCO's education policy and quality and openness and equal access. So at its core, MoodleNet recognises that teachers need to be empowered globally. Obviously, there are teachers who have access to resources and funding and budgets and those that don't and have to do everything without cost and still be very effective for their students. Open educational resources are teaching, learning and research materials in any medium, really, digital or otherwise, but obviously we're concentrating on digital, that are in the public domain or have been released under an open license that allows someone to access with no cost. They can use it, they can adapt it or remix it, and then share again and redistribute it to others without any restrictions. So there will be some licensing considerations around resources online and open education resources, but the idea is everything is towards sustainable development going forward for UNESCO, so we can share openly and freely.
So that sounds awesome. And I know it's been a long journey developing the platform, and I want to talk about that in a bit of detail. But before I get into that, I'm interested then, what attracted you to the project? Was it the technology or the philosophy?
Well, I must answer that very easily. It's the philosophy. Technology changes, as you know. I think things have changed a great deal. I've worked in technology for 30 years, and most of that in higher education, alongside teachers and as a teacher, using digital content and a long history with Moodle as well. And I've seen teachers having to create courses from blank pages with no budgets and very quickly. So MoodleNet as a philosophy can greatly help anyone who wants to sort of do this and share and curate and reuse educational resources. So as a philosophy, it's a great help and solves a big problem for teachers if you have the right resources in front of you that can remix. Open educational resources give faculty the ability to customize course materials, and the idea is to allow them to create the perfect course package for their students. Students are changing, and therefore teachers are going to have to keep up with that change in the way they learn and the materials they use. And that customization gives faculty control over the quality of their course materials, as well as the type of them and the timing of the updates. When I was a teacher, we found that the way generations learn changed very quickly on us. They changed within a year from students that would love to read to students that loved gamification, for example. And we had to change as teachers. And I think MoodleNet allows that process to happen.
Yes. You know, I've worked in the classroom as well. You're right. Content might stay the same, but the way you teach it has to evolve. And I can see MoodleNet would be incredibly useful. The time saving is just amazing, will become amazing, I'm sure. For teachers who are listening, obviously we can't see the platform today, but can you explain, how does it work? How would they move around it?
It's very intuitive, and it's been designed really around how you would use a social media network. It's essentially around searching. So searching and filtering on resources that you want to find. And there are three things in MoodleNet that we allow you to look at, as it says. So there's the resource side. So if you're looking for a single resource in a particular subject or a particular keyword, you can search on that. And when you find that, that will also open up things like collections, which are curated collections of resources that may be to that subject. And you can also find standard academic subjects, ISED level subjects, and the people behind them. So when you search for a resource, you'll actually get those four things back. You will find the resources, but you will get relevant collections, relevant subjects, and the people that have some resources in those areas so that you can follow them like you would on social media and find out what they're doing.
Awesome. So if you find someone that you really value what they upload, then you will, you'll become aware of other things that they're contributing. And if you want to contribute yourself, is that easy?
Very easy. Anyone who wants to be any kind of educator, and we use that term very loosely because normally when we talk about teachers, but anybody can be a teacher. A student coach who coaches other students can be a teacher and have a MoodleNet profile and upload resources that then can be downloaded by anybody. There's no need on MoodleNet for you to have even an account to access resources. If you want to share, it is as simple as create a profile, create a collection if you want to put a group of resources together into a subject area and create your resources. And it's a three-step process to add a resource. It's upload, give it a title and description and license, and whether it's published or not, add it to a collection, and then add some more data. And that more data is around when it was created, what type of resource it is. That's to allow it to be found more easily by people on the system.
You mentioned earlier about the licensing. I know teachers have to be a little bit careful. If they've developed a resource themselves or someone's developed something themselves and they want to share that, they can do that obviously as long as they attribute it with a particular kind of license. Would that be right, Paul?
Exactly right. Obviously, the philosophy behind all of this is openness. So we're hoping that the majority of resources on MoodleNet will be completely open with no restriction. But MoodleNet supports full Creative Commons licensing. So if you add a resource that you feel, well, I'm going to allow people to use this, but I'd really like an accreditation, a mention, then you can set that as a license requirement in MoodleNet as well. And when people look for those resources, they will see very clearly the license is, for example, CC0, which is completely open, or CC0 plus attribution, which means you must credit the developer of that content. But we're hoping, as I say, that everything's open, and that would be the philosophy of the whole system.
Yes, and I understand how that will have an exponential effect as people begin to share more and more resources. I've had the benefit of playing around in MoodleNet, and I do find it very intuitive to use. I'm not a technology expert, as you know. But I wonder, the simpler and cleaner an interface is, does that imply that it requires more complexity at the back end?
The answer to that is I wouldn't like to do anyone the disservice in software development of saying this is more complex. It is a different way of thinking. We do a lot of discussion and thought around the user experience in MoodleNet. Being as intuitive as possible is a priority, which does mean that the software developers have to think quite differently. So in a way, that's more complex, definitely. I'm sure we've all experienced software that doesn't take the user experience approach. So you're using it and you get frustrated with how things work and think this could work better. Well, that's our ethos, is to try and solve that problem first. And if that causes more development, more complexity in the background, then that's the way we will do it. I'm not saying we've done a perfect job with MoodleNet, but complexity and user experience is central to our thinking.
That makes sense. I'm thinking, you know, we've termed it in some ways a social network. Have you considered the way social networks, very popular social networks, organize their interfaces and then mirrored some of that functionality perhaps?
Absolutely. I'm sure if you use MoodleNet and you look around and you see things like likes and follows and bookmarks and our collections really are hashtags in a way that are designed for an academic purpose rather than just a general purpose, that yes, you'll see echoes of Twitter and LinkedIn and all the popular social media networks to keep it intuitive. because that's what the way people like to search these days. They're used to using it. So we didn't want that learning curve to be big to get into MoodleNet and use it.
And so does that mean, Paul, that you've used a similar, the same programming language as most social platforms? What is the programming language that's being used?
Okay, so MoodleNet uses JavaScript and variations of the JavaScript technology to run MoodleNet. It's the most popular web programming language because it's fast and it allows us to create a responsive experience. This isn't necessarily the same as any other social media platform. There are lots of platforms out there that were built 15, 20 years ago when PHP, for example, was the largest language. PHP still is the largest language. However, we find we can get a better response time. And you'll find that if you use MoodleNet, that the response times are really fast. And that's because it's JavaScript. And the screens will change very intuitively as you type, whereas the older technologies don't allow this. JavaScript's also growing. So as an open source project, we want as many developers, as many people to be able to work with this code as they can. And because this is growing and because this is what graduates are doing, we feel that this is a more appropriate programming language than PHP for this use.
Feels as if when you engage with those platforms, that they know what you're thinking before you're thinking it, that anticipation of what you're searching for, perhaps. So I can see that's really important in this kind of a platform. Must have had some challenges on the way, Paul.
Absolutely. And it all comes back to that user experience. And we are very closely monitoring, for example, the way people search. You're right in that responsiveness, and I say that in terms of I start to type a keyword and my search starts on the first letter and the screen will change as I type my keyword. That's very important to getting results quickly. And that brings its own usability challenges. And we're constantly looking at how can we improve that to get the relevant things to the top of the list. Because as MoodleNet grows, obviously you're going to end up with hundreds of thousands of resources, and we need to make sure that those search results are relevant. So yes, we're watching that that very closely.
Does it require a large team to do that?
We can always have more people, obviously. MoodleNet at the moment has a very small team. There are four of us, and we all have very different skills. We have a user experience dedicated person. We have a developer, and we have an administrator and myself. And the idea there is that at the moment, we're very agile in that we can change very quickly. We can fix things very quickly because we don't really have the processes that a huge system has right now, but it will go there. So we are growing this year. We're going to take another two people on to help MoodleNet grow. Yes, and we see it being quite a large system in the future, but we want it to be intuitive to the point that we don't need a lot of administrators in the background. We'd rather the community got involved and did this side of the system with us.
MoodleNet is open source, like Moodle itself, and I know that provides certain freedoms. In the context of MoodleNet, what are the benefits from your perspective?
Well, there are huge benefits to open source, and a lot of large enterprises now are doing open source projects because of these benefits. The biggest for me is the power of the community. And Moodle LMS also has this definitely inbuilt with millions of users and a huge community around it. The good thing about community is, yes, we have a small team. There are four of us. But you also have to think about, we have to improve and test and support. And a community allows us to do that in no other way that a contained software development team can. There are loads of skilled people out there with slightly different perspectives to us, and they have the ability to influence and vet the code, to add to the code, and become a future part of the product. And I think that's where it will become a useful product, because the market tells us. We're not sitting thinking, we want this to do this. We want this feature, and then nobody uses it. We are going to be led by the community, and that's the huge benefit of open source.
And I suppose you can see that by the way people are interacting with the platform, as well as them providing you quite specific feedback.
Absolutely. And we are working with some institutions that do tell us we need it like this for us. And we might be thinking in a different direction. And that's what's really great about it, because we can then say, OK, let's put this out to the community and see what the community feels. And we've done that already. If you were to go to, we have a program called Tracker, where you can see feature requests and you can vote for them. And we look at all of these when we're looking at what comes next. What are we doing next with MoodleNet? Yes.
And as you said earlier, you know, anybody can sign up to MoodleNet, access resources or upload resources. Is there a cost associated with it?
Absolutely not. In the open source ethos, it's totally open, totally free. You can use the MoodleNet Central, as we call it, that we host, or you can download it yourself and install your own, and there is no cost.
So how long has the platform been around for, Paul?
MoodleNet as a term has been around for a few years as an open source concept. And it started with Moodle communities, and it started people putting their resources online. And it then got rewritten to do some research and development around, should it be a social education network? But this feature, this version that we started last year in June, July 2021. And the first version was launched in September 2021. So it is very new.
That's amazing. MoodleNet has been a platform that Martin Dougiamis, Moodle CEO and founder, has felt very passionately about. It's wonderful to see it come to fruition. Do you have a sense of how many users you have currently?
Since September 2022, we've had 170,000 users on MoodleNet Central, and it's been downloaded hundreds of times, but we don't track that. So if you download MoodleNet, we don't ask you to give us any information about where it is or how it's being used. That's open source. So we know it's been downloaded many times as well. We probably have around 6,000 or 7,000 active profiles on MoodleNet as well, with people either searching for or adding content and curating content.
And Paul, can you explain to me, if someone downloads MoodleNet and then, but they can obviously also share resources back to MoodleNet Central, is that how it works?
Absolutely. At the moment, this is the next thing we're going to work on in terms of features, the ability to do a one-click share everything. So if you install your MoodleNet wherever you wish and you put your own resources on there, and this can be an institution, it can be a government, it can be at any level. The next thing we're working on this year is that you click a button and all of that can be sent to MoodleNet Central, not so that we host it, not so we take your resources, but we will then index them so they are searchable and you can find them that way. Now, that's a huge benefit because you're immediately tapping into the number of Moodle users as well, because it integrates directly with Moodle. Not only, you can use it with any LMS platform, but the ability to send any resource to Moodle with one click gives the access to, well, potentially hundreds of thousands of institutions and users immediately.
Yes, I was thinking that institutions or schools may be very interested in using MoodleNet to collect resources associated with a course or a program. And I can see that's incredibly attractive to them because they can do that, but then also share their open educational content more broadly. Do you see any conflict there with the whole philosophy of open education, or you see them working alongside each other?
Absolutely. I think sharing at the institution level is still open sharing. It isn't a teacher in a silo preparing their own resources and not sharing them with anyone, and then another teacher in the same institution doing exactly the same thing. So even at that level, it's still openness. Obviously, we'd like it to be completely open. And there are some people and institutions we're working with who have a policy to openness. So their institution essentially says, whatever you do as a teacher, we are going to make this public anyway. We are going to let anyone take our resources and anyone see what our education programs are doing. Well, MoodleNet is designed perfectly for that, to sit alongside at the global level. But at the small level, it's fine. It's no problem.
So MoodleNet's obviously going to become more and more powerful as more people become involved with uploading and sharing resources and downloading equally. How do you encourage growth?
Well, it is very important for us that that MoodleNet becomes a very useful resource, that people find something to use very quickly and can use it very quickly as well. We already have some educators adding resources and full courses even that can be used in Moodle LMS or other LMS platforms. And we're doing three things really to encourage growth. The first thing is that the features we're adding, such as achievements and gamification around achievements, will be designed to allow educators to build their own MoodleNet profile and have a higher stake in the running in the future of MoodleNet. Imagine a LinkedIn for educators. providing open educational resources. So as an educator, you can have your MoodleNet profile, which shows everybody what you do and builds your profile. So then we can add into this, well, there are some achievements. Then we can also link with things like Moodle Academy. So you can do a course on MoodleNet right now, which will help you, guide you through it and get you badges and be good for your continued professional development. And that sort of thing as well. So that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing is we are working with institutions that have these, as I said before, these open education policies, and all of their content needs to be public. So then we will help them do that. Obviously, if an institution is reviewing the number of resources they have, that's going to be a very large number in a great many cases. And it can be a little bit daunting to say, well, how do we get these into an open platform without having to spend a lot of time doing it? Well, we're going to help them do that as well. With the constraints of a small team, we're certainly going to pick 10 to actually get involved with them and make sure that they can do that with MoodleNet. And finally, we're going to be adding more features and integrations to extend MoodleNet that will allow connection to other platforms. So at the moment, if you go and use MoodleNet, you will see on every resource, there's a button that says send to Moodle. And that allows you to embed it straight in your Moodle LMS course. Well, we imagine a situation where if you are on your own version of MoodleNet and you use another LMS and you've configured that properly in MoodleNet, then that button should say send to my LMS. It should go directly into anything. But obviously, don't forget that with this, you don't need an LMS to use MoodleNet. You can just download resources and use them any way you wish as well. So those three things are what we're concentrating on.
Potentially hundreds of thousands of users or hundreds of thousands of resources. Does MoodleNet have to scale for that? You might have touched on this when you talked earlier about some of the technology behind it, but perhaps you could just explain a little more, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have to scale, but that's normally on the server side. So the way that the software works itself can handle a very large scale already. But obviously, if someone's thinking of running their own MoodleNet and they have hundreds of thousands of resources, then yes, they will need a server that is able to scale. Luckily, we have that. So our servers scale automatically to whatever we need. But obviously, someone else might be thinking, well, I don't have the budget to buy a server that's bigger than so much. Well, that's fine. You can scale to that size. But then if you wanted to go bigger, it's the server that actually is important, not the software. The software will handle it.
Right. That's great to hear. You talked earlier about Tracker, recording new features that you will be developing. Is there any others or anything really exciting that you see coming up in 2022?
Well, yes. I mean, the big one for us, there are three. Gamification is the big one. And gamification for MoodleNet is going to look like, can an educator, a teacher, can they achieve some form of recognizable continuing professional development as a result of using MoodleNet to do open education resources? And we are working with the university to actually study this at the moment and design, for example, if somebody was to start sharing open education resources, that could be an achievement that could be unlocked. And then if they were then looking to remix and reshare, so to change someone else's resources and put them into a new format and then reshare again, that also could be an achievement. And we're looking at many ways that how this can encourage people to build MoodleNet and to build their profile on MoodleNet. And as a result of that, get involved with MoodleNet. So the higher they are in gamification, the more we would like to work with them in terms of getting them involved in things and them having a say in, sort of user groups and alpha testing and that sort of thing as well. So that's really interesting, that gamification. And we're looking at all sorts of things. We're looking at computer games. We're looking at other systems out there and how they use gamification to try and keep it simple but effective. And that's going to be really exciting for 2022. The next one is federation, which I mentioned earlier. So at the moment, if you install your own MoodleNet, you cannot federate back to MoodleNet Central. There isn't that button that you switch that says, okay, send all of my content for indexing. But that's coming this year as well. And that will then help us grow enormously. Because if somebody then does have their own MoodleNet with hundreds of thousands of resources and we turn on federation, then MoodleNet obviously can then index those hundreds of thousands of resources for people to use as well. And the last one is really, we're constantly looking at user experience, and we are already working on a redesign of the front page, which will be much more social. If you go to MoodleNet right now and you look at the front page, if you're logged in or not, it has some featured resources, some featured collections and subjects, and a search bar. Well, we're going to try and make these much more personal. So what we're working on is, when you log into MoodleNet, and MoodleNet knows the things you're interested in because you may have followed an academic subject, or you have followed a particular profile, or you have downloaded a particular resource or liked it, we can then maybe suggest on the front page some things that are very relevant to you, and how we can make that more useful, a bit like a social wall, a bit like social media does. You know, if you go to Twitter, you get your relevant wall. Well, MoodleNet is looking at, can it do that as well, but with OER?
That would be really wonderful, because generally teachers have particular areas of interest, and to have that further and further content in that area or around that area, I think would be incredibly useful. And I love the idea of the gamification as well, because it encourages people to incrementally engage more with the platform and become more proficient with it. So I think that would be very successful. I can see that as the platform grows, this community that you've been talking about is going to develop more, and it's obviously very important to the platform in the same way that the community has been integral to the development of Moodle LMS. How can people get involved? What do you suggest?
Well, to get involved, you can get out, you can go into the community forums, of course, which are still very new, but there are people discussing things in there. And you can go and you can add to the discussions, and you can give your perspective. And also you can help us out by posting questions. And then we will also get involved as a team. We're watching those forums in that community, so that not just me, but my, you know, also the developers and the UX people, the user experience people, they will be in there as well, talking to people. And a lot of our ideas and our future plans come from those sorts of discussions. So community forums are a big one. We also have the Moodle tracker. And if you use MoodleNet, and once you've logged in, at the bottom of every page is a link to tracker or the documentation. It's all there, very easy to access. And you can go in and you can look at things and you can vote for them. Now, at the end of the day, we look at everything, but voting does help us decide what users really want. So to do that would be a great benefit to us. And finally, get involved in Moodle Academy. One of the things that we're very interested in doing is showing people what good open educational resources are, how to upload them, what format should we be doing, you know, all of this stuff. And we're going to do it all in Moodle Academy. So yes, you'll find documentation that tells you how to do things, but the interactive nature of Moodle Academy, I feel, is key to getting people to suggest, because there are forums in there, there are discussions in there, which then would unlock you a MoodleNet achievement as well in Moodle Academy. So those are the way. As a developer, you can download MoodleNet code and develop your own additions and improvements, and you can send those back to us. And you can do that in the forums again, or by directly and tracker contacting us. And that would be great if we could then look at that and maybe even include them in a future release of MoodleNet. And we do have developers that are looking at the code and are becoming a part of our team. And we do check with them. We do involve them in feature discussions so that they can come and add in. So the more developers that do that, the more we can set that up formally to get people really involved in the development of MoodleNet.
Congratulations. I think the platform really is exciting. And most importantly, I can see that it is going to allow so much more equity of access to good content across the world. So it's really something very exciting to be involved with. And thanks to everyone for listening today. If, as Paul said, if you would like to get involved, I encourage you to visit MoodleNet's website, which is moodle.net, very easy to remember, and sign up. Thanks for joining us, and until next time.